knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys' teeth.
Still makes me chuckle.
Because he will talk about it. I mean, if it comes up, he doesn't ignore it.
If it comes up, I get it.
That's just locker room talk for me.
Sure. That's all it is. You and Billy Bush sitting on a bus,
yep,
just speaking your minds.
Yep.
What's wrong with
that's
that?
Right.
The Bushy and the Deanie.
Yep. So true. Hey, Dean.
Deanie hasn't been Bushy in about 20 years.
Oh, no.
That sounds wrong.
That
sounds
on every level. Dean, Wendy and I were just discussing the Shelley Duvall story. Shelley Duvall's making an appearance on Dr. Phil, and she's having some mental issues.
Terrible
story. Trying to figure out if Dr. Phil is exploiting her. What are your thoughts?
I am going to say yes.
Me too.
Let me think about it for like a half a second. Absolutely.
Yes.
Is she getting paid for this? Because maybe she needs the money.
I don't think so.
No?
It's not usual that somebody that would go on a show like that would get a salary for an appearance. I don't think that's the case. They're made, I don't know how they are going to wind up doing this whole thing, but, a lot of times they'll say, and we're going to provide you with, appointments with a therapist and, provide help after the fact. But at what price?
Right.
I mean, just, when you read the story, when you see the picture, it's heartbreaking. It really is heartbreaking. And, if the price of free therapy is having to go on national television she's going to, explain what she is going through and, the hallucinations, it sounds like, that she's been having.
Maybe she wants to get on to help people, show that you're not alone.
Yeah. It seems just so sideshow-like to me.
It does, doesn't it?
It feels weird to me. I'm not a fan of that sort of thing. I mean, if you really want to help her, do it privately.
That's what I said.
Have her come on a year later and talk about how great she is doing, then. To have her come on now, when she's apparently not doing very well, it seems very exploitive to me.
Manna from Heaven was the last movie she was in 2002.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
That's
the one I'm thinking of. We were saying earlier how she's one of those. There's so many people in this list, actors and actresses, Dean, who work steadily for years and years and years. And then one day you say to yourself, "Hey, where did they go? Where did Shelley Duvall go?" She's one of those people for me for years that I just go, "Did she decide to just not be in show business, or did Hollywood decide there's no parts for you?"
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. Maybe it's a little bit of both is all I can think. She hasn't really done a movie or television show, anything, for 20 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It's been about 20 years or so. What do you remember what year Popeye was? Because honestly, that's the last thing that I, when I think Shelley Duvall, I think of.
The Shining is probably the one that she gets most notoriety from, but Popeye was in the 80s at some point.
Yeah, I don't recall. Popeye's the one that comes to my mind. I remember
she was so good.
Nashville. I remember
all the Altman movies.
Wasn't she in Annie Hall? Wasn't she also in Annie Hall?
1980.
Small role in Annie Hall.
It could be. What was
1980 was Popeye.
Yeah, yeah.
She was the perfect olive oil, man.
Dean, you know who's like that for me now? Like
the perfect olive oil?
Yes. Joe Pesci's a guy who worked steadily forever, and I can't remember the last time I saw him in anything.
It's true.
And I've talked about Gene Hackman, how Gene Hackman for a long time...
He's hot.
Wendy says he's hot, so he's hot.
I've heard that before.
But he's
from
another
Wendy,
guy.
I mean.
I know. Right. Only in the Royal Tenenbaums.
Don't even bring up those two words. I won't even say the two words together in front of Wendy. Because it's like, slowly I turn, step by step.
Yep.
It's like it triggers some kind of Pavlovian response.
Hot.
But somebody at night, when I was doing the night show, somebody said Gene Hackman just decided at one point he didn't enjoy this anymore and wanted to be an author, so he just writes books now.
That's what I've heard, too, that he just got tired of it and simply quit.
Good for him.
Yeah, if you don't enjoy it, why stick with it?
Right.
Yeah. All right, there's a couple of
That's
movies.
That's why I quit AMP.
Is that why you stopped working at the WEO, at the AMP WEO?
AMP WEO. I was, I don't want to brag. I think I was one of their better cashiers / bag boys.
But they left the door open. They said, if you ever want to come back, you can come back.
They did. And, I went off half-cocked thinking, you know, I'm going to try to see if I can get this to work in radio for me. But, you know, really secretly burning desire.
Yep.
Yeah, I miss getting on the microphone at the A&P store. Price check in aisle four.
Was that you doing that?
Price check in aisle. That was my first on-air experience. We have a cleanup in the jelly department.
And then you sent demo tape out to radio stations, and you got some work.
Oddly, that's how I got my first job.
How about that?
Yeah, people said we really like your cleanup announcements. You rockin' cleanup announcements, man. We're going to give you a show.
This crate of oranges could be worth money. I remember you used to do that.
A lot of people don't remember that.
Sure, I remember. Bill's, I love that stuff. Yeah,
I love this behind the music thing with Dean every once in a while.
That's why your show is thought of as the VH1 of AM radio.
Yeah, we're good with that.
Yeah. Dean, a couple of big releases coming out this weekend. Let's start out, if you wouldn't mind, with Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. This looks fantastic. I'm hoping it is.
It's good. I think it's more visually interesting than it is content-wise interesting. The story... I don't think it's quite as good. Visually, it's stunning. It's the really the latest in the Harry Potter franchise. It's the prequel screenplay of which was written by J.K. Rowling herself. This is not a book that was adapted for the big screen. This was written for the big screen by J.K. Rowling herself. And... it's a spinoff that's going to be, as I understand it, is going to be like six or eight movies.
Wow.
They've got huge plans for this Fantastic Beast franchise that is, as best as I can remember, I don't remember all the nuanced details of all the Harry Potter movies the way I'm sure probably a 12-year-old kid who's probably really now 25 might remember, but... there is a book that Harry Potter was reading in Sorcerer's Stone called Fantastic Beasts and How and Where to Find Them. And it's sort of an instructional book while he is at Hogwarts at the school, of how to where to find Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
And written by the main character of this movie, who is played by Eddie Redmayne, who... it comes to America in the 1920s. This is part of the beauty of this book. It's a really cool look at New York City in the 1920s. And comes with a suitcase. Inside are fantastic beasts that escape from the satchel and get out in New York. And there's already a problem with who is a wizard and who is not a wizard. In New York City, that's part of the subplots of the whole thing. This interesting that it's a Harry Potter story, but really most of the characters in this movie are adults. Really, all but a few of the characters are adults. So I don't want to say it's darker. It's really not. It's just not as playful as the Harry Potter movies were. It's not as whimsical as the Harry Potter movies were, except when it's completely focused on the beasts, which are beautiful and whimsical and fantasy-filled, fantastic-looking. They are the most exciting parts of the movies. It's a story of really trying to wrangle all of these beasts that escape and try to get them back, and clearly setting up this story of wizard versus non-wizards. They all have different names than the Harry Potter movie did, and setting up the movies that will come later on. If you didn't know that the Harry Potter franchise existed, if you hadn't read the books or seen the previous movies, the movie will be exactly the same to you. There are really only a few little references here and there where you hear... Dumbledore's name mentioned. You hear some of the familiar characters and things from the Harry Potter movies. But if you aren't into the Harry Potter movies at all, you'll still completely get this, which I like. The story's okay. Visually, the movie is spectacular and really really beautiful and fun. And it's an all ages movie. You can take everyone. Honestly, really, the only thing that is missing here. Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman should be in this movie.
I am not going.
Gene Hackman, if there was just a cameo or something, the movie would have been a little better. But I'm giving it a Dean's List B.
Oh, that's not bad. And, Dean, it opens up the possibility of a sequel, Gene Hackman and Where to Find Him.
Oh,
so I bet that comes
that
out soon.
Great. That would be fantastic.
Yes.
Dean, are you a Harry Potter fan?
I like the movies. I wouldn't say that I'm a Harry Potter fan, no.
I have not seen one lick of any movie.
Wow. Nothing.
Mm-mm.
How about that? Are you purposely staying away?
No, it just never really appealed to me. My kids didn't see it. Jimmy Mack just started watching. He just watched all of them, so he's going tonight to the new one.
Yeah.
He enjoyed it. It's something he said he didn't think he'd be into, but he liked it.
Yeah, the movies are they're fun and they're adventure-filled. Honestly, I get a little bit lost with, you know, in that other world of, you know, language and a lot of the things that really mostly kids, I think really captured their imaginations. I had trouble remembering might just be a function of being an old guy. It's like, what did he say? What was that called again? What? Pull my finger.
You can bring in a cheat sheet, though, like I did with the judges when I voted for judges. Yeah. I just bring in a cheat sheet.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, it's easier that way.
I didn't think of that. I should have. What'd they say? Hogwarts? What is it? What is a muggle again? Wait a minute.
Dean Richards is our guest. We're talking about movies, what's coming out this weekend. We'll continue this discussion next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Our little pumpkin, Dean Richards, is here talking about what movies to see and which to avoid this weekend. Dean, I wish you could see this. Somebody texted in a picture for Wendy, somebody in the 630 area code, and it says, my mom dated Gene Hackman, and there's a picture of their mom, I'd say sometime in the 1950s, with a very young, very handsome Gene Hackman.
Wasn't he from Danville, Illinois?
Yes, he is.
My God, I could have been Mrs. Gene Hackman.
Wouldn't that have been nice?
you would have been married to someone 50 years older than you.
That's all right.
Age doesn't matter to Wendy,
she's
Dean.
Still sexy.
Okay, Charo.
Oh, hoochie, 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 hoo.
Hey, speaking of affairs, Dean, how about this story? It turns out two of the stars of the Star Wars trilogy, the original Star Wars, were messing with each other's lightsabers.
Talking about the Force. Apparently the Force really was with them, I'm guessing.
Yes.
And there was a big age difference between them as well. Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, ironically enough, it is.
I heard you hold back on Cochran's show with that.
She was 19 years old at the time when this happened, and Harrison Ford from the Chicago area was married with two kids, 33 years old at the time when they had a little fling, according to Carrie Fisher. While they were filming the first movie, as Carrie Fisher put it, it was Leia and Han Solo during the week, and on the weekends, it was Carrie and Harrison.
Wow. Wow.
Sitting in a tree.
So they asked him about it the other day, and he just said one word, lawyer. He yelled out, lawyer. I know he was kidding, but every part of that is interesting to me, except for the part about him having a family. That's disturbing.
I didn't even know he was married before and had kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I hadn't heard any comment that he'd had it, but Carrie Fisher had said that she sent him a draft of it, that he was fully aware that she was going to include this in her her latest book called Princess Diarist, in which she talks, you know, about affairs and things that have happened in her turbulent life.
Yeah.
So he was apparently aware of the whole thing. I haven't heard any litigation.
I'm almost positive he was kidding, you know, because it was years and years ago.
Isn't it weird that she would just bring it up like all of a sudden? Why now? Why after 40 years you decide? And with her, it's very possible that she only just remembered.
Well, it was
good point,
Dean. It was a long time ago in a galaxy far away, and I mean a Ford Galaxy.
Right. And, you know, the print gets smaller. In her new book, it's very interesting. As you're reading it, the print gets smaller. As you scroll down the page, the actual type size gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller.
In keeping with the theme, of course.
Yeah.
All right, what about Edge of 17? This looks pretty good, too. I'm hoping this one's a good one.
This one, actually. This is my favorite movie of the week, actually.
Oh, nice. Good.
And I'm generally not that big on coming-of-age movies because generally coming-of-age movies are not that interesting. They're heralding this as the new 16 Candles or Breakfast Club, and it is only that it's you know, slice of life for a teenager growing up. In this case, it's Hailee Steinfeld, the actress,
who was in True Grit,
who is really, really, really good in this movie. She is an awkward high school junior. She doesn't have very many friends. The one friend that she does have becomes girlfriends with Hailee Steinfeld's brother in the movie, her, you know, most popular kid in school, brother, you know, jock, good looking. So now she loses her best friend at the same time to her, you know, dreaded older brother.
Played by Gene Hackman.
Stop it.
So this is, I mean, this is just really a fish out of water story that is so smartly written and smartly sketched. It's very relatable at times.
Yeah. Right?
Anybody who has ever felt like, you know, when you were a teenager that you were alone, that you were the, you know, you were the only one who thought certain ways or felt certain ways or dressed certain ways. You're going to 100% relate to this character. Kira Sedgwick plays her well-meaning but completely over-the-top mom. Woody Harrelson, in many ways, steals this movie. He is her history teacher and the only one with whom she can confide, and he's just such a disinterested history teacher. I had so many teachers like this that you would go to talk to them, and they could care less.
They gave up.
They could care less. They did give up. They just wanted to get through the day and get back home again. And Woody Harrelson is hilariously funny in this movie. But it's a nice story. It is rated R. It's you know, the language and some of the sexual things in the movie get pretty real. But it's really entertaining. It's you know, a nice little slice of life of how awkward it is. To be a teenager, edge of 17. I'm giving Dean's List B+.
Perfect.
Yeah.
My favorite coming of age movie was Clerks. I don't know why, but it really was.
Yeah,
I'm a Stand By Me man, I think.
Well, there's
great
comparisons.
Summer of 42.
Summer of love. Yeah, Summer of 42.
Pretty great.
Right? There's comparisons with this movie to Juno, which is a great coming of age movie.
Yeah, I think it's more, way more like Juno than it is Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Or 16 Candles, because at times it's a little bit raw. It's you know, at times, you know, there are some things in here that are a little bit difficult to watch.
Yeah. Well, we'll be waiting for. I can't wait. It looks great. Well,
are the new landlords of the building moving somebody into the
yes
the room?
Yes.
Is the mattress store moving in? Well, that's I've got my money that our showcase is going to become the first downtown mattress king.
Excellent.
Maybe, possibly.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That's fine. Dean, thank you so much.